Let's begin. Today we're talking about whether Kriyas HaTorah is a Chovas HaTzibor or Chovas HaYachad, which we'll explain what it means. The way that we get here is from our Mishnah. I had you finish up the last couple lines, which you didn't get to last week. Hope that didn't confuse you too much. But we really have this Mishnah on Chof Gimel Beis, which is a famous Mishnah, which describes a lot of the different things that require 10 people. One of the things on the list is Ve'ein Korin Batorah. We don't do Kriyas HaTorah. We do not read from the Torah publicly with less than 10 people. That everyone agrees upon. You don't read Kriyas HaTorah with less than 10 people. We have to explain what does Chovas HaYachad mean in a second. But everyone's going to agree you need at least 10 people. Again, the Gemara learns it out from Nikdash Dibesoch B'nei Yisrael, Toch Toch, Eda Eda. But basically, at the end of the day, you need 10 people for all these things listed in the Mishnah, including Kriyas HaTorah. So the story goes, again, there's a lot of family drama going on today in today's sugya. The way that the Shiur HaRav, which is written by Rabbi Nachum Ganak, who works for the OU, also Rabbi in YU. So the way he quotes the story is that when he, Rav Yosef Dov HaLevi Salavechik, I got to be careful when I say Rav Salavechik today, because there's, I think we're quoting four different Salavechiks through the course of the day. But when Rav Yosef Dov HaLevi Salavechik was a boy, his grandfather, his mother's father, Rav Elio Feinstein, comes up to him and says, you know, this happens all the time. Like, I can't stand the other side. Sometimes it's like something that they're like actually doing wrong, right? It's like they're bad people. This is what couldn't he stand about Rav Chaim? That Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, his other grandfather, namely his father's father, was always so strict to try and get a minyan for Kriyas HaTorah. We're going to talk about exactly why in a second. But he was always so meticulous about finding a Kriyas HaTorah. And he wasn't as careful about Tefillah B'Tzibur. We're not talking about Tefillah B'Tzibur. We spoke about it a little bit last year. But why was he so strict about Kriyas HaTorah? So there's two different versions about how the story goes. Okay, so there's in source number one, the Shiurei HaRav, by presented Rabbi Beganak, that, you know, Rav Eliyahu Feinstein makes it sound like he had this conversation with Rav Chaim. Rav Chaim thinks that Tefillah B'Tzibur is a Chovas HaYachad. So what is a Chovas HaYachad versus a Chovas HaTzibur before we continue the story? Right, so a Chovas HaYachad means that the obligation of Kriyas HaTorah is imposed on each and every individual. So every individual in the shul is obligated to, again, hear, read Kriyas HaTorah.
In the shul or Jewish people?
Every person is obligated, whether they're in shul or not, to hear Kriyas HaTorah, and therefore they have to make an effort to go hear Kriyas HaTorah. Right? You still need 10 people. You can't do Kriyas HaTorah with one person. You still need 10 people, but that's just a detail. But fundamentally, the obligation is imposed on each every individual. That was the view of Rav Chaim. But Rav Eliyahu Feinstein said, that can't be what Kriyas HaTorah is. It must be that Kriyas HaTorah is a Chovas HaTzibur. Namely, it's not that each and every individual is obligated. Rather, the Tzibur, the Kehillah, the congregation, they are obligated. Every individual themselves is not obligated. And, you know, so there's two versions of how the story then goes. Rav Eliyahu Feinstein comes up to Rav Chaim. He tells him there's an explicit Ramban against you. Rav Chaim says, what are you talking about? The Ramban reads exactly the way that I think. The Ramban's not a proof against me, it's a proof for me. So that's version number one. Version number two, and in that version, he doesn't even tell him we don't even know which Ramban Rav Eliyahu Feinstein was talking about. But in version number two, as quoted by Rav Shechter in source number two, it's not just that Rav Eliyahu Feinstein went to Rav Chaim. He actually sent his grandson, Rav Yosef Dov HaLevi Soloveitchik, to send the message to him. Here's the Ramban. Show this to your other grandfather and tell him he's wrong. Right? So it's a lot of, again, two different takes on the story. But either way, we need to take a step back and try and understand some of the background. What exactly is going on with this Ramban? What argument is Rav Eliyahu Feinstein making that he's so upset at Rav Chaim? So let's take a step back to turning to page number two in the Hebrew, source number three. It actually, the discussion really emerges not in the context of Kriyas HaTorah, but actually in the context of Kriyas HaMegillah. So the Gemara has a machlokas between Rav and Rav Asi. So source number three, Amar Rav, Megillah Bezmana, Korin Osa, Afilu B'Yachid, Shalom Bezmana Ba'asar. So according to Rav, if you read Megillah at the proper time, again, the 14th in a non-walled city, or the 15th on a walled city, you could read it even as an individual. A single person can read it. But if you read it early, again, all the villagers used to be, it could be the villagers used to read earlier on the 11th, 12th, and 13th. So then if you would read the Megillah early, so then you would require 10 people. So according to Rav, one case, namely the Megillah on time, requires, you could read it by yourself. But if you read the Megillah early, then you require 10 people. Rav Asi Amar, Rav Asi argued and said, no, bein bizmana, bein shalo bizmana, basara. I don't care whether you read it on the 14th, I don't care if you read it on the 11th or 12th, you need 10 people. And then there's the story that Hava Uvda Vachash Leila Rav Lahadar Ravasi. That there's a story that Rav required a minion even in a scenario where of Bizmana. So we have a dispute. Everyone agrees Shalom Bizmana, you require 10 people. But in the case of Bizmana, Rav thinks you only need one person. Ravasi thinks that you need 10. So how do we paskin? So the Rif tells us that the halacha is actually going to follow Rav. The halacha is going to follow Rav. And he brings a proof that from the fact that Rav Yochanan holds like Rav, so since, again, we don't want to get into all the details right now, but since Rav Yochanan holds like Rav, therefore the halacha is going to be like Rav. Rav Yochanan's a big hitter. So therefore, the halacha, it seems, according to the Rif, that you need, if you're laning early, so you're laning on the 11th, 12th, and 13th for the Megillah, so then you're going to require 10 people, but if you're laning the Megillah on the 14th or the 15th, so then you are only going to require one person, you do not need 10 people. So far, so good? Okay. So the Baal Ma'or, however, disagrees with the Rif. And he's bothered by the Rif. Because he thinks that the Rif doesn't really understand what's going on. He argues that it must be that when Rav Asi thinks that you always need 10, that's not accurate. Namely, Rav Asi thinks that there is always an ideal for 10. But let's say you didn't have 10, and you only had one person to read the Megillah. Whether it's Shalom Bizmana or Bizmana, it's the proper time or not, and one person read the Megillah. Have you fulfilled your obligation? So Rav Asi, the Baal Ma'or thinks, would say, you have fulfilled your obligation. Everyone, both Rav and Rav Asi, are going to assume that one person reads the Megillah, doesn't matter when, are going to fulfill their obligation. And here's where it gets back to our topic and why it's so important for us, is what is the Baal Ma'or's proof? What is the Baal Ma'or's proof that everyone's going to think that on a bidyavid level, if you read, one person reads the Megillah, he's Yotze. He says, this is a great line from the Baal Ma'or, he's like, what Masechta are we in? What Masechta are we in?
Megillah.
So if we have a Mishnah in Megillah that outlines that 10 people are necessary for something, and Megillah is left off the list, could that be an accident? We're in Masechta's Megillah, right? There's no way that could be an accident. So it must be that fundamentally, the Megillah doesn't require 10 people. And even if you only have one person, you're going to have fulfilled your obligation. Because otherwise, why is it not in our Mishnah? That is the Baal Ma'or's argument. Namely, it is not in our Mishnah because really, 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 one person could read it. End of the day, that's it.
What did you say one person could read it? By himself.
By himself. If he read it by himself, whether it's Bizmana or Shalom Bizmana, he has fulfilled his obligation. And that's why it's not in the Mishnah. Our Mishnah is only talking about things that absolutely need 10 people. And if you don't read it, so then you're not Yotze. So that is the opinion of the Baal Ma'or. However, the Mochamos, which is the commentary of the Ramban, and this is the Ramban that Rav Eliyahu Feinstein was talking about, comes up with a different distinction to defend the Rif. The Mochamos, again, is fighting the wars of Hashem to defend the Baal Ma'or, to defend the Rif against the attacks of the Baal Ma'or. He can get quite feisty sometimes, not in this piece. But he basically argues, why is Kriyas HaTorah why is Kriyas HaMegillah not in this list? Because Kriyas HaMegillah is a Chovas HaYachid. Since it's an obligation on each and every individual, you might require 10 people, but it's a Chovas HaYachid. Our Mishnah, however, is only talking about things which are a Chovas HaTzibur, an obligation that are imposed on the congregation. Therefore, things in our Mishnah are a Chovas HaTzibur, obligations on the congregation, unlike things that are not in our Mishnah, namely Megillah, which are fundamentally a Chovas HaYachid, but you still could argue that you need 10 people because of Persume Nisa, etc. So what then is he saying about our Mishnah and things that are in our Mishnah? What type of obligation are they? Are Chovas HaYachid or Chovas HaTzibur? Chovas HaTzibur. Right? He says the whole Mishnah is dealing with things that are Chovas HaTzibur. And if Kriyas HaTorah is in our Mishnah, so is it a Chovas HaYachid or a Chovas HaTzibur? Chovas HaTzibur. Rav Eliyahu Feinstein's argument. Rav Chaim, you have nothing to talk about. The Ramban says explicitly that anything in our Mishnah is a Chovat Tzitzibur. Kriyas HaTorah is in our Mishnah, so therefore this is an obligation that's imposed on the congregation. And there is no obligation to make up a minyan, as we're talking about in a second. It's not a Chovas HaYachid. Rav Chaim is wrong. That is Rav Eliyahu Feinstein's argument, either that he presented to Rav Chaim and Rav Chaim reread, or that Rav Soloveitchik was sent to deliver the message and make the argument on the behalf of his other grandfather. So what are some of the implications whether Kriyas HaTorah is a Chovas HaYachid or a Chovas HaTzibur? So the most obvious one is, let's say, someone missed Minyan on a Monday or Thursday. Do they make up Kriyas HaTorah? Should they make up Kriyas HaTorah or not? So which side makes sense for which?
If you're individual, yes.
So they report in a lot of different places. I gave you over here in source number 7 that Rav Chaim had a lot of these rabbinic conferences that he had to go to. He had to take a lot of train rides. So Rav Chaim would try, when he had a train ride and he missed Minyan in the morning, when he got to where he needed to go, he would scramble and do his best to try and get a Minyan for Kriyas HaTorah. Why would he do that? Because he assumed that Kriyas HaTorah, seemingly against the Ramban and against Rav Eliyahu Feinstein, is a Chovas HaYachid. And since it's an obligation on each and every individual, you need to go hear Kriyas HaTorah, so therefore Rav Chaim would make the effort to make a minyan for Kriyas HaTorah. And similarly, in source number 8, I gave you from Rav Shechter, quoting in the name of Rav Soloveitchik. So Rav Soloveitchik, Rav Shechter in Divrei HaRav, notes that usually the Rav historically used to fly from Boston to YU. So the day he would usually fly was a Tuesday. There were times, however, and this is what he notes here in source number 8, in Nefesh HaRav, that he couldn't fly for Tuesday, whatever reason, or he had to switch his flight, and he had to fly on Monday. So anyone who's flown on Monday realizes, hey, you're going to be missing Kriyas HaTorah. So some of us would be like, oh, okay, I'm missing Kriyas HaTorah. You know, I got to get to my flight. I have a job, etc. But the Rav, what would he would do? He'd say Shir, and after the end of the shir, he would say, maybe there's some other people who haven't heard Kriyas HaTorah yet, and we can make a minyan. So they daven mincha, they would say Ashrei, Chatzi Kaddish, do a Kriyas HaTorah, say another Chatzi Kaddish, and then daven mincha after putting away the Sefer Torah. Why did Rav Yosef Dov HaLevi Soloveitchik do this? Because he held like his grandfather, right? That there is a Chovas HaYachid. Every individual has to hear Kriyas HaTorah, and therefore, if I missed it just because I was on the plane ride from Boston to New York, that's not a good excuse. I need to do my best to hear Kriyas HaTorah even when I missed it. However, not everyone agrees. Rafal Shapira, who is the son-in-law of the Netziv and the father-in-law of Rav Chaim, which we'll get back to in a second. So the report is that he wouldn't even go from one room to the other room to hear Kriyas HaTorah. Namely, he hadn't heard Kriyas HaTorah yet. Let's say he missed something. And they're doing a Kriyas HaTorah in the next room over. It's okay. It's not a Chovas HaYachid. It's a Chovas HaTzibur. And since it's an obligation that's imposed on the congregation and not on each individual, okay, so I missed it. The Tzibur took care of it this morning. You know, they davened in or Torah. Okay, so now I'm in Skokie. I don't need to go. I don't need to take care of it. It's not my obligation. It's an obligation on the congregation and not on the individual. So much so that if you look in source number 9, there's a great story that when Rav Chaim was working in, again, he was the number 2 in Yeshivas Volozhin. So he was the son-in-law, as I said, of Rafal Shapira. And Rav Chaim, you know, kedarko, in a normal way, he missed Kriyas HaTorah for something, and he lived in the same building as his father-in-law. Not always the best idea. But you probably got a great deal on the rent. No, I'm kidding. I have great relationships with my in-laws, and they're very generous people, in case they're listening. No, but I'm serious. But the point is that people... So he was trying to organize for a minyan in the building. So they had 9. And they asked his father-in-law, Rafal Shapira, knew you're number 10. You know, anytime you hear you're number 10, you always got to come. Rafal Shapira said, no. Sorry. I think Kriyas HaTorah is the Chovas HaTzibur. There's no need to make this minyan. I'm not helping you. And that's what, you know, his father-in-law said to the son-in-law. Rafal Shapira said, okay, Rav Chaim, you think it's a Chovas HaYachid. I think it's a Chovas HaTzibur. There's no need to make this minyan right now. We davened in Volozhin this morning. We had a minyan with Kriyas HaTorah. You missed it? Okay, you missed it. What's the big deal? And again, a descendant of Rafal Shapira, Rav Moshe Shmuel Shapira, quoted in source number 10 by the Shir HaRav, said that this is actually a machlokes between Brisk and Volozhin. because again, Rafael Shapira is a descendant of the son-in-law of Netziv. So again, who's Rosh Shiva in Volozhin. So Volozhin thinks that Kriyas HaTorah is a chovas ha-tzibur, and that's why Rafael Shapira is not having any of this. But Rav Chaim Brisker, who's going to start Brisk, thinks that it's a chovas ha-yachid, and that's why the Rav and others are going to follow Rav Chaim's path. And this is my chiddush, but I think this is pshat, is Rav Eliyahu Feinstein, the Rav's other grandfather, where did he learn? He learned in Yeshivas Volozhin. So he was following his Mesora of, again, Rafael Shapira and others, that Volozhin assumed that this is a Chovas HaTzibur. So there's no need to make it up when you miss. So we have like this machlokas between two great yeshivas and two great mesoras. On the one hand, Volozhin, who thinks, no, Kriyas HaTorah is going to be a Chovas HaTzibur, versus Brisk, and follow, again, starting with Rav Chaim all the way down to the Rav, who thinks that no, Kriyas HaTorah is really going to be a Chovas HaYachid. So nafkamina number one, yeah.
Not sure. In this circumstance, according to the story, Rav Shapiro had heard the Torah already or did not?
I think it's irrelevant. Okay. Irrelevant. If he heard it, he didn't need to hear it again. If he didn't hear it, he doesn't need to hear it anyway, because the tzibur davened already. Yeah. But we'll get back to it. He probably, if I had to guess, didn't hear it for a different reason, which I'll get to in a second. So the question is, and this is a little bit of a confusing question, so I'm going to do my best to be clear about it. So implication number, we have a question, is Kriyas HaTorah Chovas HaYachid, Chovas HaTzibur? Ramification number one, if you miss it, as an individual, you have to make a minyan to hear it later. Ramification number two is, if you're making a minyan later, how many people do you need of the 10 to be able to do another Kriyas HaTorah? So Tosas discusses this question by one of the cases in the Mishnah. He has a bunch of different opinions, which I don't want to get into right now, in source number 11. The Chai Adam is also Mesupik about this. But let's get to we'll talk about the logic for a second. So in source number 13, the Shiri HaRav says, if Kriyas HaTorah is a Chovas HaYachid, how many people should you require who haven't yet heard it? One, right? Logically speaking, you have one person who hasn't yet heard it. Again, by Porsenes HaShema, the other case, which I don't want to get into right now, maybe you only require one person who hasn't heard it. So since fundamentally this person is chayiv right now, we need to do our best to accommodate him, and therefore one person is enough to say, you are obligated in a Kriyas HaTorah, let's do a Kriyas HaTorah. That's what you might say logically.
But you need
10 people, but only one needs to be still not have heard it. The other 9 can have heard Kriyas HaTorah. That's what you might say logically, based on Rav Chaim. However, things get more complicated. So I gave you the source 14, which is the Chidushei HaGrach, which unlike the Rav Chaim Sefer Al HaRambam, Chidushei HaGrach is like a straight up compilation of things from his students. So this piece actually originally appears in a Sefer called the Birchas Shmuel by Rav Baruch Meir. So he has this famous question he lumps together Kriyas HaTorah, Megillah, and Chazaras HaShas, but we'll just focus on Kriyas HaTorah. So he says, not so simple. Not so simple. He thinks one's not an option. Why he thinks that, you could ask me afterwards. Not 100% sure, but I have a theory. But he thinks the two options and the nafkamina of Yachid versus Tzibur is not one, but whether you need 6 people who are obligated or 10 people who have not yet heard it. So what would be the logic of both of them? Right? What would be the logic of both of them? So let's start with the Chovas HaTzibur side. If Kriyas HaTorah is a Chovas HaTzibur, so the obligation is only created if you have a Tzibur who's obligated, how many people do you need who have not yet heard it? 10. Because otherwise, you don't have a halachically defined Tzibur is 10 people. So you need 10 people 10 people to generate the level of Chiyuv. That is simple. Where it gets confusing is the other side. Namely, what about for the side that Kriyas HaTorah is a Chovas HaYachid? How many people do you require? So the Birchas Shmuel, based on Rav Chaim, wants to argue 6. Why 6? So we have a principle in halacha called Rubo Kikulo, that when you have the majority of something, it's as if you have the entire thing. Okay? So if you have a majority of something, then you have the entire thing. So therefore, if you have 6 people, you have a majority, and each individual is obligated, because this is an individual chiyuv for this perspective. So when you have 6, you now have a majority of people who are obligated. And therefore, it is going to be considered rubo kikulo, that all of them are obligated. So therefore, if you hold a chov, let me just finish the thought. If you hold that chovas hatzibor, then you need 10 people who have not yet heard Kriyas HaTorah. But if you think that it's a chovas hayachid, then you need 6. Because 6 will create a majority of people who are chayiv, and then we will apply the principle of rubo kikulo. Is that clear so far? Okay, again, that was complicated, so that's what emerged. You had a question?
Not quite a question, just saying I'm sure that many students outside would argue, yes, I got a 60 on this exam, but you need to record it as 100.
Correct. So when do we say rubo kikulo? When do we say rubo kikulo or not? When do we say kulo? Again, part of what his argument is, he thinks that for the perspective of chovas hatzibur, 6 people would not be enough, because then there's nothing there, because the obligation only starts when there's 10 people. So if you have 6 people, that's just called nothing. So if a kid got a 0 on a test, you know, you can't start from nothing. You have to say that you have something. So therefore, exactly. So 60 is a better question. It's a good argument. You should try and make that argument and see what happens. If all my students start coming to me next week, you know, and saying, what's going on?
Because it's a you need 10 who have not.
Exactly. Because otherwise, there's no rubo kikulo.
How many times has it been about where somebody will say, you know, mincha? Well, 6 people need mincha.
Right.
And 4 are very dominant.
Exactly. So it's exactly. And that might be based on this exact question of rubo kikulo. Exactly. Okay. Yeah. Okay. The problem is, and this is where things get even more complicated. Again, I hope you're with me, which is Rav Chaim. What did Rav Chaim require? Right, so we said before, Rav Chaim held that it was a chovas hayachid. So based on the Berachah Shmuel's logic, which side, how many people should he require? 6 or 10? 6. But apparently Rav Chaim required 10. So the question is why? Why would Rav Chaim think that it's a chovas hayachid, but yet said, I want to find not just 6 guys who haven't yet heard Kriyas HaTorah, I want 10 people who haven't yet heard Kriyas HaTorah, which is why what makes me think before that Rav Rafael Shapiro had not yet heard Kriyas HaTorah, because he was looking for 10 people who have not yet heard Kriyas HaTorah. So they quote an interesting answer from Rav Moshe Meiselman in the name of Rav Chiel Michal Feinstein, who was also, again, related through marriage to Rav Chaim, that what happened? Rav Chaim heard the argument of Rav Eliyahu Feinstein. Rav Eliyahu Feinstein said it's a Ramban. Rav Chaim's like, ooh, it's a Ramban. I might have another way to read it, but I have to be careful. So therefore, I'm going to be strict like both sides. Namely, I'm going to assume it's a Chovas HaYachid, and if I miss Kriyas HaTorah, I'm going to make it up later. But I'm also going to be strict that when I make it up, I'm going to make it up as if it was a Chovas HaTzibur, and require 10 people who have not yet heard it. Because maybe Rav Eliyahu finds, you know, the other grandfather has a good point. He points to the Ramban. So I have to be strict for both sides. And that is the opinion of Rav Chaim. So just to summarize this point, I know it was complicated. Again, hopefully I explained it clearly. Which is, if Kriyas HaTorah is a Chovas HaYachid, you would require 6 people according to Berachah Shmuel. If Kriyas HaTorah is a Chovas HaTzibur, you would require 10. Rav Chaim thought it was a Chovas HaYachid, but still required 10. Because he was machmir that maybe it's a chovas hayachid, and therefore I need to make up the minyan. But maybe it's a chovas hatzibur like Rav Eliyahu Feinstein, and therefore I'm going to require 10. Everyone with me? Okay.
Exactly.
Show respect for the other view. So another issue impacted is speaking or learning during Kriyas HaTorah. So there's a famous case in the Gemara and Brachos and Daf Ches of Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes used to, you know, demonstrably turn around and start learning during Kriyas HaTorah. So the question is, how can he do that? There's a Gemara in Sota which says that it is forbidden to speak when the Sefer Torah is opened. So on the one hand, Rav Sheshes is talking and learning. On the other hand, the Gemara in Sota says you are not allowed to speak during Kriyas HaTorah. So there's 4 or 5 different answers in the Rishonim. So Tosfos in source number 18 in Brachos quotes, I think, 3 answers. That it could be that there's no, the isser of speaking out loud while the Kriyas HaTorah is out, only when you're out loud, when you're speaking out loud, because it's going to be very disturbing. Everyone knows that guy who's talking way too loud. You can't hear anything else that's going on. So you can't speak out loud. But Rav Sheshes, oh, he was speaking quietly. So therefore, it wasn't disturbing to all the other listeners, so it's not a problem for him to sit and learn. That's answer number 1. Answer number 2 is that, oh, there were 10 other people who were there for Kriyas HaTorah listening, and therefore Rosh Hashanah wasn't necessary for the minyan, so he could sit and learn. Answer number three was that Rosh Hashanah is a special caliber type of person, which we have other exceptions for in halacha, someone who's toraso umnaso, that the Torah is his profession, and therefore since he has such a special focus, a single dedication towards Liman HaTorah, we are just going to say, yeah, it's fine, don't worry about it, and do your thing. That's it. Okay, so those are Tosis's three answers to the question. Namely, Rosh Hashanah was learning quietly, it's only a problem out loud. There were 10 other people. You can only not learn if there's less than 10 other people. Or number three, Rosh Hashanah is an exception because of Torah Samduso. But Rav Soloveitchik pointed out that there's a problem. Why did Rosh Hashanah not have to listen to Kriyat HaTorah for all three of these perspectives? Okay, because you're quiet, so you're not disturbing anybody else, but you still need to listen for yourself. So if you're talking, even if you're talking quietly, you're not going to listen. If there's 10 other people, great, there's 10 other people, they have a minyan without you, but you still need to listen to Kriyas HaTorah. You're not listening to Kriyas HaTorah. And okay, Torah so umnaso, so you have a special allowance to learn Torah, but you haven't heard Kriyas HaTorah. So it's a really big problem for Rav Chaim Soloveitchik. If every individual is obligated to learn, to hear Kriyas HaTorah, so how can Rav Sheshes learn in the middle of Kriyas HaTorah? So Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, which is Soloveitchik number three that I believe we're quoting in this year, argues that what are you going to have to say for someone like Rav Chaim? You're going to have to come up with a massive chiddush that in all this, in this case, Rav Sheshes already heard Kriyas HaTorah. And since he already heard Kriyas HaTorah, he's dispelled his Chovas HaYachid, he's fulfilled his obligation as an individual to hear Kriyas HaTorah, and since he already did that, so therefore, we'll allow dispensations, again, if he's not disturbing anyone, if it's done, if there's 10 other people, or since Torah so naso. But fundamentally, again, the Rosh Hashanah sounds like a Chovas HaTzibur, and therefore Rav Moshe Soloveitchik is going to have to say and limit this case. No, 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 it's not talking about every case. It's just in a case where someone has already heard Kriyas HaTorah, which is a big okipta to make in the Gemara. Yeah.
If you already heard it, why is he in?
So again, he came to shul to daven. He already heard Kriyas HaTorah. It happens all the time. You're by the kotel. You stayed there to learn, and now in the middle of a Kriyas HaTorah. So he looked away, and he kept learning. So that's perspective number one. However, Tosas in Sota quotes a different answer, which is Rav Sheshes is different for a different reason. Why is Rav Sheshes different? Rav Sheshes was blind, couldn't see. So since he was blind, that makes him exempt from reading the Torah. Why? Because there's an isser, again, we're not going to get into this isser right now, an isser to say Torah Shebichsav by heart. You're not allowed to say Torah Shebal Peh, Torah Shebichsav by heart. Again, there are a lot of exceptions to this rule, things that are well known, things that are beloved. Again,
but reading is separate from hearing, isn't it?
Reading is separate from hearing, but Tosa's logic is that if someone is exempt from reading the Torah, so too they're going to be exempt from listening to the Torah. And therefore, Rav Sheshes was actually exempt from Kriyas HaTorah. But therefore, you have no proof now that Kriyas HaTorah for Rav Sheshes is a Kovat HaTzibur, because Rav Sheshes was putter from Kriyas HaTorah. But everybody else, no way they're going to learn during Kriyas HaTorah, because Kriyas HaTorah is going to be a Chovas HaYachid, right? Similarly, this is the Sefer Shibul HaLeket, one of the Rishonim, who quotes from Rabbeinu Simcha. He's like, I don't understand the custom. All the custom going on is everyone sitting and learning during Kriyas HaTorah. How could they do that? They have to sit. Okay, you're going to tell me it's not disturbing anyone, but you need to listen. And if you're sitting and learning and concentrating on what you're reading, there's no way you're going to be able to pay attention to Kriyas HaTorah. And he says, therefore, it is usher to learn during Kriyas HaTorah. So what is the Shibul HaLeket assuming? Is Kriyas HaTorah Chovas HaYachid or a Chovas HaTzibur? He's assuming that every individual has the obligation to listen, and therefore it is going to be a Chovas HaYachid, right? A Chovas HaYachid, and that's why everyone's going to have to listen, whether you're, everyone's going to have to listen to Kriyas HaTorah. So how do we paskin? And with this, we'll conclude. So the Shulchan Aruch, in a couple different contexts, seems to assume that Kriyas HaTorah is actually a Chovas HaTzibur. Again, he has certain allowances for people who are learning, people who are talking. So it sounds like Kriyas HaTorah for the Shulchan Aruch is going to be a Chovas HaTzibur. However, he has a couple of exceptions. What are his exceptions? Zachor and Parah. that you need to focus and listen, even if you're allowed to talk or to learn during certain times in Kriyas HaTorah, Zachor and Para, you are going to need to listen and pay attention. Why would Zachor and Para be different? Not because it's a Chovas HaTzipor, rather because all other Kriyas HaTorahs, according to the Shulchan Aruch, are a Chovas HaTzipor. But Zachor and Para are going to be a Chovas HaYachid. And this actually works really well for a different Shulchan Aruch, which is in source number 25, that you, if you're in a place where they don't have a minion, you are obligated to come here, Zachor and Para. But you don't have a minion. So there's no obligation. There's no tzibor. But Zachor and Para are not Chovas HaTzibors. They're going to be Chovas HaYachids for the Shulchan Aruch. Does the Shulchan Aruch say that you have to come every Shabbos if you don't have a minion? No. Why? Because he thinks fundamentally, normally, Kriyas HaTorah is going to be a Chovas HaTzibor. But on Zachor and Parah, they're going to be a Chovas HaYachid. Again, that is, I quoted in source number 26 for our fourth Soloveitchik of the day, the Sefer Perech Mata Aaron, which is going to be Rav Aaron Soloveitchik. That's the way he understands the Shulchan Aruch, namely, Kriyas HaTorah generally is a Chovas HaTzibor, Zachor and Parah are going to be a Chovas HaYachid. However, and this is what we'll conclude, the Ramah has this fascinating line. I don't like the take, but I will quote it anyway from Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, which is that the Ramah says, again, this is a complicated case, but let's say someone takes an oath that in general, that they're going to not do a mitzvah. Normally we say that it's not a valid oath by a mitzvah d'oraisa, but by a mitzvah d'rabbanan, we will say that it's a valid oath. So the Ramah writes that Kriyas HaTorah, if a person takes an oath to not do Kriyas HaTorah, that is a valid oath because it's d'rabbanan. So the way that Rav Aaron Soloveitchik understands this in source number 28 is that the implication would be that if Kriyas HaTorah is a de'oraisa and a person took an oath to not do Kriyas HaTorah, would that be a valid oath? No. But why would it be considered nullifying a mitzvah? For I, Moshe Spurn, say, I will not do Kriyas HaTorah. Does that mean nullifying a mitzvah? Because it's only nullifying a mitzvah if you think it's a Chovas HaYachid. So it must be that the Ramah thinks that Kriyas HaTorah, again, if it would have been Daraisa, and even now that it's the Rabbanan, is going to be a Chovas HaYachid. And then Ral Soloveitchik says a bizarre thing. Absolutely bizarre. He says that this Ramah, again, turning on to page 9. Uviglal haramah hazeh, on the top line. Zekeni Rav Chaim zatzal hayamak ma'ola Kriyas HaTorah. This Ramah is what convinced Rav Chaim to say that Kriyas HaTorah is going to be a Chovas HaYachid. Again, I disagree with the read of the Ramah, but according to Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, his grandfather, Rav Chaim, thought Chovas HaYachid because of this Ramah. So just to conclude, we discussed that you need 10 people always for Kriyas HaTorah. We said that Rav Chaim thought that it was going to be a Chovas HaYachid, unlike Rav Eliyahu Feinstein, who wanted to argue based on the Ramban in the context of Megillah, that it's going to be a Chovas HaTzibor. One nafkamina is whether you need to make up Kriyas HaTorah that you missed. Rav Chaim and the Rav always were. We noted Volozhin disagreed, and you know, Rafael Shapiro refused to come to his own son-in-law's minion for it. He's like, it's not necessary. He wouldn't go from one room to the next. We spoke about whether how many people you need that were not yet who have not yet heard Kriyas HaTorah, that either if you assume that it's a Chovas HaTzibor, then you would require 10. If it's a Chovas HaYachid, you would require 6. But Rav Chaim, even though he assumed it was a Chovas HaYachid, he still required 10. To be machmer for both opinions, again, maybe because he really cared about what Rav Eliyahu Feinstein had to say. Then we discussed the question of whether you could learn during Kriyas HaTorah. Rav Sheshes learns. How could you do that? Tosfos has three answers, which imply Chovas HaTzibor. Rav Moshe Soloveitchik having to say it's a Chovas HaYachid. Tosfos' other answer, which implies that really maybe Kriyas HaTorah is a Chovas HaYachid, but Rav Sheshes was Pater because he was blind. We have the Shiboleh Halakit, who's getting all cranky at everyone learning during Kriyas HaTorah, because really Kriyas HaTorah is a Chovas HaYachid. Finally, we have the Shulchan Aruch, who said that Kriyas HaTorah is a Chovas HaTzibor generally, and therefore there are certain dispensations for learning and speaking, but Zachor and Para are going to be Chovas HaYachids. Side note, certain people think there's actually a distinction between Para and Zachor, and that Zachor would be a Chovas HaYachid, not Para. Different time, different shir. I ate my shir on Parshas Para a couple weeks ago. But And then finally you have this Rama who implies that maybe Kriyas HaTorah is going to be a Chobas HaYachid. And according to Raval and Salavechik, it's actually going to be the source of Rav Chaim that Kriyas HaTorah is going to be Chobas HaYachid.